Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. Mac, it's been kind of a rough quarter, so I brought in a trainer to get me back on top of my game.
Come on, get started, you bucket of bolts. PC Mac rated Mac number one in customer support. Are you just going to take that?
No.
PC World's readers called Mac number one in reliability. He's laughing at you.
I'm not laughing at you.
He's number one in customer satisfaction. What are you?
Okay, maybe we could try some positive reinforcement at this point.
Sure. You're doing a good job, Mac.
Thanks.
Hey.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today, he currently resides in Thailand, where locals call him From Dom Sexy, which of course translates into sexy walking carpet buster. Shiny is here.
Hey.
Also joining us when he's not napping at his desk, you'll find him barking orders at the Cult of Mac staff and whipping them with a retractable metal car antenna. Leander Caney is here.
I'm writing a book about it. Management tips from the Cult of Media headquarters.
That's going to sell very well. Once people know how to get your staff motivated, they'll be able to do the same for their own staff. You just send a copy of that to The Verge, Leander. They need some motivation.
Right, definitely. There, yeah, spice that boring videos up.
Goodness. Well, you might be wondering what we're going to be talking about this episode, considering all the news came out last week, and we're not getting anything. Well, we're not getting what we want until November 3rd. Isn't that when the iPhone 10 pre-orders come out?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while before we get the real goods. But the iPhone 8 reviews are out, and I don't even know if anyone's interested with the iPhone 8 anymore. But I think it's a sexy device.
Oh man, you know,
it's something that I even considered buying, quite honestly.
Well, I did.
You bought one?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at Asimpa, you know, Horace Didier, the analyst, you know, and yeah. He did a post, an interesting post about the average price of the iPhone. You know, everyone's complaining about the iPhone X being, you know, astronomically priced and costing an arm and a leg. But if you know, the lowest iPhone now is only $350 for the iPhone SE, 16 gigabyte. Mm-hmm. So that if you look at the makeup, and in fact, there's never been more phones on offer at more different price points. So the actual average selling, the actual average price of the iPhone hasn't changed and has remained remarkably steady for years. It's about $627, something like that, $630, the average one.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, cut long story short, he was saying he thinks that the volume sellers are going to be the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 7.
Well, the iPhone 8 is one of the more beautiful iPhones I think Apple's ever made. I think that glass makes a huge difference. At least it does to me. It's like the shininess. They got rid of the lines in the back. Anyway, we'll talk about all that. And we've just got a lot of interesting tidbits to go over. Just things that we didn't know after the keynotes and weren't able to talk about, because information is kind of leaking out slowly. And we'll have more of this stuff to share with you, I'm sure, as time progresses before iPhone 10 actually releases. We're also going to talk about some more tidbits we have on the AirPods, the iPhone 10 itself, and we have an interesting historical first for the new iPhone 8 that Leander is going to tell us about. And prices have gone up across the board. You may not have noticed this, but prices for the iPhone and the iPad have just been raised. Apple did that quietly, of course, and we're going to talk about that. And we'll tell you about the best AR kit apps to try on iPhone and iPad. As you know, iOS 11 has come out. I've tried quite a few of them, and we'll review some of the best ones out there and also tell you about the ones that have been absolute garbage, total shite, of which unfortunately for me, there has been many. I've been surprised how many of them just don't work very well.
Huh.
And if we have time, we're going to wrap up with an all-new Under review, where we talk about what we like and what we don't like about the gadgets that we're currently reviewing. Before we dive into the iPhone 8 reviews, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Are you ready to turn your cool idea into a new website? Showcase your work, start a blog, publish content, sell products and services of all kinds. Maybe you're a student and you want to promote your skill set that you've just acquired and you are trying to market yourself to prospective employers. Having a beautiful website is the way to do all of these things, and that's what Squarespace gives to you. It's easy to build a Squarespace website because you just pick a template, and they have all these beautiful templates created by really talented designers. And then boom, you're up and running. You can start publishing content. You can sell things on an e-commerce website. All of this stuff is included in your Squarespace site. And Squarespace allows you to customize the look and the feel and the settings and all your products with just a few clicks. You don't need to know how to code or anything. And everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. This is one of the best things about Squarespace. Your website will look good on desktop. It will look good on mobile. They just do everything automatically in the background to optimize it for all those different platforms. And Squarespace integrates with over 200 different extensions, which let you connect your website to a plethora of all these different services that will help you run your website and make your website better. Plus, they give you analytics, real-time analytics that can help you grow your website. Check it out. Start a two-week free trial at squarespace.com and build a website. All of Squarespace's options, all of its features are there waiting for you. You could build a website, see how you like it. And if it turns out you want to keep your website when you're done with your trial, you can save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with code CULTCAST at checkout at squarespace.com. The code is CULTCAST. And if you buy a year of service, you get a free domain name and you get an additional discount on your subscription. That is squarespace.com. All right, Buster.
Mm-hmm.
The iPhone 8 reviews are out, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they're about what everyone would expect.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's cool. No iPhone
that pretty
X.
Much sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, a good successor to the iPhone 7, but it's no iPhone X, which I think is like the biggest problem with it is like if that alone came out this year, everybody would be raving about it. Mm-hmm. Everything on it actually looks awesome. Like the design is like way better than the 7. The A11 Bionic chip, the camera. So yeah, it looks like a really awesome phone. Plus wireless charging. So Apple knocked it out of the park on this one.
That is literally what I've read a bunch of the reviews that have come out. That is literally what every single person has said. That pretty much summarizes what every single review has said is it's the best iPhone that Apple's made. It makes the iPhone 7 even better. But you should probably wait for the iPhone 10 because
yeah.
That's the hot new device. That's the one that has all the cool new features, which maybe is not necessarily true. I mean, you get wireless charging on the iPhone 8, which is something that I've been waiting for a long time. And I also think, and I said this earlier, I think it's better looking than the iPhone 10, quite honestly.
Why? Because of the notch?
I don't know. You know, it's not maybe the notch isn't really what bothers me more than the camera on the back. That camera nodule on the back of the iPhone 10, I just think I think it looks weird.
Oh, it's just the a
very
vertical
strange
one?
Shape. Yeah. And it has like that metal ingot that covers it. And it's very industrial looking on a phone that looks very futuristic. It just kind of looks out of place to me. I kind of like the subtlety of the camera on the iPhone 8 and the 8 Plus. So, but again, I've said this before. We'll have to wait and see what it looks like. But I will say this. The gold version of the iPhone 8, it looks like this creamy gold piece of jewelry. And every time I saw it, I thought, this looks like a prop from a 70s adult film. You guys with me?
Why an adult film? Like, it could just be a 70s James Bond movie or something.
Okay, man. I've revealed too much. About 3 years ago, I had this glorious, bushy mustache. And when I have a mustache, not only do I look like a pedophile, but I look like an actor in one of those 70s adult films. I just kept thinking this would be the perfect prop for me to have when I'm walking around and getting in my Trans Am to go... skate
clean
around
the pool.
Clean the pool or go skate on some ladies at the roller skating rink. Yeah, it just looks very 70s. It looks very vintage to me. One of the other interesting things that came out this week that I thought was hilarious was I thought that Bionic name they appended to the A11 chip, which is in the iPhone 8 and also the iPhone 10, I thought it was an interesting name. It's kind of a strange name to me, like the word Bionic. It reminds me of video games I used to play in like the 90s. It just kind of seems dated. But apparently that name came about because Apple realized that they were losing a branding war with their CPU processor names and their phones, and everyone was coming up with cooler names than them. And after last year's A10 chip. They named it the Fusion chip, and apparently that created a buzz, and people were talking about it more because of that name. And so they just slapped the Bionic name on there to make people talk about it. That's the only reason why it's there.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And to, like, I think Schiller, somebody in one of the interviews said that they named it Bionic to, like, kind of give, because it has, like, the neural chip and stuff and AI technologies in it, so they wanted to kind of signify that it was a futuristic merging of machine and humans type.
Really?
Thing. Yeah.
Hmm. Huh. So it is kind of like RoboCop.
A little bit.
Well, don't you remember the Bionic Man, Steve Austin from the 70s?
Yeah,
you know, I never caught that show.
That was awesome. I grew up watching that.
Wasn't he called like the Million Dollar Man or something?
Yeah, $6 Million Man. Yeah, but he was
$6 Million Man, right?
He had a bionic arm, a bionic eye,
dang,
and a bionic leg or something. You should check out the on YouTube the opening credits. They were awesome because they took some footage from an experimental NASA spacecraft that looked like this flying wing,
mm-hmm.
and it actually crashed at high speed. So that was the setup, and this is real footage. But in the TV show, they made it sound like he was a NASA test pilot. He crashed, and they put him back together all these robot parts. But the beginning is really awesome. It's really worth checking out on YouTube.
Do you remember Scrooged at the beginning of Scrooge, where the Bionic Man had to save Santa Claus?
No,
no, you don't remember that? I thought you liked that movie.
Bill Murray movie?
Yeah, the Bill Murray movie.
Bill Murray. The only thing I can remember that movie is a bawling at the end of it when he gave the speech.
Oh, man, that was actually a tearjerker.
Right.
You got to watch that. This is a Christmas movie. I should wait to talk about this in November, but one of the best Christmas movies ever made, Scrooged. Okay, moving onward, here's an interesting tidbit for you. The A11 Bionic chip is so powerful, early benchmarks have suggested that its performance is on par with the new 13-inch MacBook Pro in some areas. That'll make you feel good. You have a laptop in your pockets.
Is that good, though, or does that say something bad about the MacBook Pro?
Yeah, good point. It does say something about the MacBook Pro.
It's twice as fast as Android, the comparable chips in Android handsets.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy fast. I mean, it is a super, super powerful chip. It's just way, way beyond, anything anyone else is doing right now. In fact, it reminds me of the whole megahertz wars, you know, mm-hmm. talking about nostalgic things. Remember, you know, back in the 90s when Intel would come out with a new Pentium chip,
And,
I mean, that's what they sold computers on, and Apple is doing this with these chips now. But they are streets ahead of anybody else. No one else in the chip game has got anything else like this.
I miss the megahertz wars, quite honestly. Maybe that's what I miss about the MacBook Pro, because I keep feeling like it's always missing something. Every time they announce a new MacBook Pro, I'm like, I need more horsepower. I need more ponies under the hood. And we never get it. And maybe it's because I come from a time where that's really what you were looking for with computers, right? Is you needed more megahertz, better chips, faster processing. Every version needed to be 100% faster than the last version. It needed to have exhaust pipes coming out the sides. I like that raw horsepower.
Right.
And that's definitely what we're missing from the Mac these days. Let's talk about the camera. This is some interesting stuff for the iPhone 8, and this will probably end up being true about the iPhone 10 as well. The iPhone 8 camera is now more saturated than the iPhone 7, and more interestingly, HDR is always turned on, and you cannot turn it off.
I wonder if there's even
an HDR feature on in iOS anymore. You know what? We should check this out. I guess we don't have an iPhone 8, but I wonder if this is an iOS 11 thing or if this is an iOS or an iPhone 8 thing, because I think
it's
still
turn it
out.
It's got to be an iPhone 8.
Yeah, maybe it's exclusive to iPhone 8, but that would be interesting, right? Why would they do that on the iPhone 8 but not the iPhone 7 Plus?
Well, because, I mean, the camera, it's probably the chip is better or something because it has the better noise reduction processing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess maybe it would work out better because I know sometimes when I take pictures using HDR on my iPhone, it looks worse than like just the regular pictures that you would take. It's definitely a little bit more noisy and stuff.
Yeah, I've stopped using HDR for the most part for that reason. Mm-hmm. And also it makes the pictures look unnatural most of the time.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what the photos look like on the iPhone 8.
Plus, before you got a regular picture and an HDR picture, so you got two versions of the same picture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But haven't they turned that off in iOS 11? So now you only get the HDR version.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But again, on the iPhone 8, you can't even turn HDR off at all. So all your pictures are the HDR version. So maybe they're moving in that direction. Wireless charging, unfortunately, I was watching a Verge review, and they did a test on the wireless charging. And this was surprising. In their tests, for every 30 minutes they had the iPhone 8 Plus on a wireless charging mat, this is a Mophie mat, they only increased their battery by 15%, which is achingly slow.
Because most wireless charging is pretty slow. And Apple's standard, if I remember right, from early rumors, it wasn't going to charge as fast or use as much draw as most wireless chargers did. So I think they were only using 5 watts or 7 watts or something, when a lot of other ones use 15.
Mm-hmm. And I know wireless charging mats waste a lot of power, too. They just, I mean, if you have 100% of the power coming out of the mat, only 30 to 80% of that is actually getting into your phone. 80% being the pinnacle of what they're able to do right now.
I thought it was more 40 or something. With true wireless charging, it's only 40%, which there was some cool news this week too, that the iPhones are capable of true wireless charging as well. But there's no solutions for it. There's a company that's working on one though. So you can actually be holding your device and having it charge, but your device has to be within a foot of their charging station thing.
Well, that'd be a big upgrade, because right now on those mats, you have to have your phone placed perfectly on top of the mat and positioned correctly for it to A, even get a charge at all, but B, to get a significant charge. And, the other thing is you can't take your phone off the mat while it's charging. With Lightning, you could at least use it while it's charging.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Sometimes I would just rather have Lightning than have the pad, because, you're saying, you can't use... I mean, you could still use it. You would just have to be hovering over it, whereas with a Lightning cable, you can get a 6-foot-long one or a 10-foot-long one and use it on the couch or whatever you want to do.
Oh, yeah, I got a 10, my friend. 10-footer. And I'm using that thing all the time. And then I can use my phone while it's charging, You don't have that little 3-foot cord that Apple gives you. It's ridiculous. Who do they think they are? 3-foot cord? Who's going to be using a 3-foot cord? Not me.
Yeah, right.
What are you using, Leander? What are you packing?
I got a 10-foot one, too.
Yeah, that's right. What I thought.
But the kids keep nicking it, so I have to use a 3-foot one, and that means leaning halfway out of the bed.
I know, right? It's ridiculous. Unless you're charging it connected to your MacBook on your desk or something.
Right.
Get out of here. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? Oh, well, we got a historical first, don't we, Leander?
We do have a historical first, yeah. So this is the first time that I can remember, and I could be wrong, of course, but that the new iPhones failed to sell out immediately. This is the iPhone 8, of course. So when the iPhone 8 went on sale, pre-sale, pre-order last week, usually there's a frenzy, isn't there? And you can't get onto the website, you can't load the app. And a lucky few get to get their pre-orders fulfilled for this Friday, the 22nd. And then usually they sell out. But this time, the iPhone 8 failed to sell out immediately. And the next day, you could still get it for pickup in the stores this Friday. And that's actually slipped a bit now. The current shipping time, I think, is about a week.
Really? Because I looked last night, and it was 3 business days.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I might be looking at the wrong one.
Maybe it depends on the model and also the carrier and stuff. But one of the things I also noticed is they're selling it unlocked right from the get-go. You can just go buy one.
Can you always do that?
I don't think so. I think when they release a really hot gadget, you have to buy it via a carrier. I don't think you can just buy an unlocked one. Yeah, yeah. They prioritize the carriers first. And I think with the iPhone X, they're going to be doing that same thing. And then you can also buy one through the Apple payment program, where they include... Apple Care plan as well, which I think I probably will end up going that way too, because the Apple Care price for this phone is just it's just too expensive, I think. But so not a huge demand. Well, we should say
maybe
Apple just got their game together and was able to produce enough of them.
Right, and I think there's probably a good argument to say that could be the case. That they actually have they managed to build enough of these to satisfy initial demand. Which is an interesting precedent anyway, because they haven't been able to do that before,
right?
But because it's using a very similar form factor, although all of the guts have changed, and a lot of it has changed, But maybe the, you know, because I think the screen hasn't significantly changed.
The externals are almost exactly the same. In fact, I was reading yesterday that even iPhone 7 cases will work on your iPhone 8. It's pretty much exactly the same.
But they're not using the same unibody aluminum process, right? You know, because they have thousands, maybe even millions of CNC machines making the cases for the iPhone 7. You know, carving them out of a solid block of aluminum. And this is glass, so it's got to be a different process altogether. So, you know, a different factory process. They wouldn't have had to invest in, you know, completely different machines to make these things out of glass. So, you know, it is surprising. And, you know, I would say probably because there isn't a demand for them at the moment.
Here's the thing, too. I think eventually people are going to switch from wanting the iPhone X to just buying the iPhone 8 because... We just saw another report today that the iPhone X is, they're not even manufacturing it yet, are they? I don't believe that they are. And there's some analysts who believe that it's not going to be commonly available until next December, I was reading, or next year sometime.
You mean like widely available, right?
Yes. Yeah, like you'll actually be able to get your hands on one without waiting.
You can just
walk in
and pick one up without waiting, yeah.
Yeah, or not having to like go on a waiting list for 6 weeks like you do with the AirPods.
That's a long... I heard like the middle of next year. But now they're saying this next December, some analysts?
I mean, there's different people saying different things, but regardless of who you're reading, it's still like, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 months before people think that this thing's going to actually be available. And how many people are willing to wait that long? I mean, if I have to wait, let's say the pre-orders happen on November 3rd. Let's say what always ends up happening to me happens again. I get totally screwed. The entire thing is foobarred. And I stay up all night, end up with nothing, right? I'm not gonna buy an iPhone X 6 months into its life cycle. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. At that point, I'm just going to keep my iPhone 8 Plus and just use that for another year.
And the then iPhone 8 Plus?
Or the iPhone 7 Plus.
So are you going to go get an iPhone 8?
No, I think regardless, I won't buy an iPhone 8. Even though it's gorgeous, it's just not different enough for my current iPhone to warrant, you know, the extra money. Not to mention, the prices have gone up across the board on iPhones and on iPad Pros as well. And this is something, of course, that Apple hasn't talked about. And they quietly did this in the aftermath of all the news stories coming out after the keynote. But there have been some significant price increases. For example, the iPhone 7, when it first came out, the 32 gig version was $649, and the iPhone 8 releases at 64 gigs. They don't have one lower than that, but it's $699, so a $50 increase. 7 Plus, when it came out, 32 gig model, was $769, and the iPhone 8 Plus, the 64 gig model, is $799. So some price increases across the board on the iPhones, and then also on the iPads, we got... What was it, Buster? A $50 price increase across...
$50.
Yeah, man, that sucks.
Breaking in that money.
That sucks. So,
the reason why is supposedly, Apple hasn't said anything, but some other websites report it's because of NAND price, chip price increases, which, I mean, did they increase that much where Apple has to, like, make customers take the hit? Like, chip prices didn't increase, like, a shit ton. It's not like they increased $100. So I don't see why Apple didn't just take the hit themselves instead of passing it on to the customers, you know, and making customers happy. It's just dumb things like that that always kind of make me pissed at Apple for being shysters.
Their stuff is getting... I'm gonna be Captain Obvious here, but their stuff is getting to be really expensive. Their MacBook Pros. Now look, I know you guys are going to say, man, their stuff has always been expensive, but there's different degrees of expensive. I think the computer that I have now, the MacBook Pro that I have now, was a top of the line when I bought it, and I think I got it for like $2,300 or something. And the MacBook Pros now, with the top price being like, you know, $3,000 with tax, and now with this raise on the iPhones, Apple stuff, I mean, it just has more of a premium than it ever has. And in my opinion, it's more expensive than it's ever been. I mean, it's always been expensive, but at this moment, I feel like it's the most expensive that it's been in a long time. I guess maybe if you went back to the 90s where their computers were all like $4,000, maybe that beat it. You remember back in those days, Leander, when an Apple II GS cost like $5,000?
Yeah, at least. And then by the time you bought all the other stuff you needed, you know, like a monitor and, you know, all these peripherals, then you were looking at 10.
And that's a 1980s money, which is like like $35,000 today for a computer.
Yeah, I know. We're bitching, but technology is really cheap these days, to be honest. Even a $1,000 phone is a lot, you know, cheaper than it would have been a decade ago or even two decades ago.
This is why you're Johnny Ives' wingman. That's exactly what Tim Cook said. He was on Good Morning America, and he said the exact same. He said, $1,000, y'all, that's cheap. He was trying to argue how $1,000 is a value price for such a cutting-edge device. And he might be right. Maybe it is a real steal of a deal, but it's still $1,000 for a phone, which means, and these are U.S. prices, of course, if you bought the $1,150, 256-gigabyte iPhone X after tax, you're looking at a $1,300 phone. I can't do that. That's too much for a phone. I thought I could, but the more I think about it, the more I think I can't dish out that many ducats for a phone that I'm going to have for 1 year.
You're glued to the thing all night and day, you know, aren't you? Like, if you think about it like that, like the amount of time you spend on it, the amount of stuff it does for you, all the joy and the pleasure and the great photos, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but for $1,300, he needs to give me one of those Thai massages.
Yeah, I need a couple happy endings.
Yeah, at least a couple, too.
But I've heard that argument from so many people, like on Twitter, like, oh, you know, it's how much you spend time with your iPhone more than anything and all this. And it's like, yeah, but it's not going to spending a $1,300 versus spending $800 on like an iPhone 8 Plus. It's not like your life's going to get $500 better, like, or more joyous or anything. Like, I think at some point it's not worth it. Like, yeah, it just seems like at one point you have to say enough. That's out of my budget. I'll wait until either the price comes down on that one next year or save up till next year and get the new one. And that's kind of what I'm thinking about with the iPhone X. I'm like, it's great, but there's some flaw. I wish it was bigger, actually, is kind of like my complaint.
You want it to be what?
I want it to be an iPhone 8 Plus size phone with the full screen. Because, oh, that would...
Oh, so you want a massive screen.
Oh, yeah.
Give Ooh, me all- yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, baby.
The one of the things about the iPhone X is, or 10, sorry, is the notch takes up so much room of the extra screen space. Like, Apple measures it diagonally from the corner, but that's the corner where, like, all you have is, like, the Wi-Fi, the system notifications and stuff. And then you also have, like, the home button interaction stuff going on at the bottom. So I don't know if it's, like, that big of an increase. It's just a little bit taller than the old iPhone 7 screen.
People have been getting rowdy about that notch. There have been, I know we get haters on every iPhone edition, but there are some seriously pissed off people when it comes to iPhone 10. There's a lot of people out there who are saying Apple's done. This just proves that there's no one that has the taste of Steve Jobs making the shot or calling the shots anymore. Look at the notch. Look at what the notch looks like. It's terrible. And when you're scrolling on a website, it partially obscures the progress bar or the scroll bar in the browser, which is actually a decent point.
Yeah.
But I've just seen several people sound off about how much they hate the iPhone 10. It's an overpriced piece of garbage. And I feel like the vitriol is even more common now than it was with previous versions of the iPhone. People are really pissed about this new phone. It's really making them mad.
They'll get used to the notch, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's just way too expensive, I think. And it doesn't have that many features that are better than the iPhone 8, other than form factor, screen size.
And Face ID.
It's got the 3D camera. Yeah, or Face ID. And that's
screen technology.
Really. Well, okay, yeah, I mean, there are some definite benefits to it, but I feel like it's not such a huge leap that I'm, like, ready to jump on it. But I have gotten over the fears of Face ID since the last podcast. I'm actually, like, kind of wanting that feature. But other than that, I don't know if... The True Tone display would be really nice for editing pictures on the go.
But other than that,
I'm like, eh. Yeah, I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store and play with it before I ever decide to buy an iPhone X.
I'm going to buy one, and then I'm going to go probably play with it as soon as it's available, considering I probably won't get my hands on it for, like, you know, 2 months after I ordered it. And then if I don't like it, I'm going to return it. But if you don't order it right away, you're not going to get it anytime soon, which maybe you don't care about.
You know what? I had bought the iPhone new every year. With the 7 Plus was the first one I sat out on. And then I had to buy one just a couple like days before I left for Asia. And I didn't like feel like I was missing out at all on the 7 Plus. So I don't know. The 10 is such a big design change that that's the only reason I want it is the design change.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Face ID. I was disappointed to see that it will only be able to recognize one person's face. Isn't that right, Buster?
Yes. You were disappointed?
Yeah, I was disappointed.
Why? Do you put multiple fingerprints in your iPhone?
Yeah, I do. Oh, okay. And so I have multiple people's fingerprints on my iPhone just in case someone needs to, yeah, yeah.
Well,
just
who? Like who?
Like my special
your
lady.
Neighbor.
Yeah, my drug dealer. You know, only the people that need to have access to it. Because, like, what if you croak?
In case, yeah.
You know, and someone needs to access your phone.
Yeah, why don't you put your PIN somewhere?
Because my code for my iPhone is also the code for my ATM number. I don't trust anybody with that.
Because you need the code at some point, too. Like, if it restarts or you haven't used Touch ID, and if you die and 24 hours later nobody's opened your phone.
I know, yeah. When you're gripping your chest with, you know, with a massive heart attack, your other hand will be like going spasming, and you'll be pressed the home button five times and it'll reset the whole thing.
Okay, that's a good point. So I mean, anyone who has my fingerprint also has my passcode, but it's just a convenience factor. Like, you know, like you're grabbing someone's phone and you want to like take a picture off of it. If your fingerprint's stored in the phone, like you can just open up their phone and get the photo that you want.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice. It's just a convenience feature for me. Apparently I'm the only person that does that. Do you guys not have any other people's fingerprints registered on your phone?
I don't, because I'm not around any. Yeah. I don't have a wife.
Okay, yeah. Okay, got it. Feels alone, bad, so. Man. Things are gonna get dark very quickly. What about you? What about you, Leander? You've got 17 kids. You're married.
Yeah, they all know the codes, but I don't put their fingers on it. No.
Okay. So maybe it's just me that does that. So yeah, I was like, oh man, only one face. That's kind of a bummer. Because if someone wants to get into your phone, they're gonna need your code. But I guess that's not a big deal.
Well, I've seen other people complain about it too on Twitter, which I thought was kind of weird. And I saw them complaining about it for different reasons, like wanting Apple to support multiple faces, and then they could support like a multi-user login on the iPad or something.
Right.
Like
well, that's
that.
A real issue, isn't it? The multi-user login, not the.
Yeah.
That would be very nice for the iPad. I don't know if you would need that on a phone though.
No. Because a phone, it's like your personal device. But on iPads, I still can't believe it's been so long that the iPad's out and Apple has never supported multiple users yet. It's kind of mind-blowing.
Is there a good reason why they haven't?
I would guess because of storage space, maybe. That's like the only reason I could think of is like it would take up like double the storage space on your iPad. Mm. But you could allocate like a guest account or something like that that only has 16 gigabytes and then the rest gets the other... whatever, 100.
Yeah, the right, yeah.
That would be really nice. And I'm sure many iPads are in homes where it's being used by multiple people. Mm-hmm. And kids are using it, parents are using it. So yeah, it is a little surprising that they haven't worked that in. But it looks like they're focusing more on business features for the iPad now, trying to make it more of a productivity device. So
yeah, it's a shame because, you know, Apple being an educator, you know, has always been aligned with education.
Yeah. Yeah,
And that's the biggest thing you hear from education users too. But maybe they just want to make sure they sell, you know, an iPad for every kid.
There you go. That's the solution. That's the solution right there. You just need an iPad for every kid. Okay. Well, before we do this discussion on the best AR kit apps, let's at least mention the AirPods wireless charging case. So we talked a little bit about this last week. Apple is going to be releasing a new case that allows you to charge your AirPods via the wireless Qi standard and will be compatible with the AirPower mat that Apple will eventually be releasing. There was a report that came out this week, and I don't know if I believe this, but it said the device, the additional case that has the wireless charging built in will be $69. That I think I believe. But... the part that I found to be unbelievable was they said that Apple is not going to sell the AirPods with this additional case. The only way you'll be able to get it is to buy the case as an additional accessory.
So then
you're
gonna have,
which seems crazy to me.
You're going to have two AirPod cases, like one you use and one you don't use. Or like one's going to be like your backup battery case, I guess.
Right?
That can't be the case. I mean, they must be revamping the whole line, right?
Yeah, where did this...
That seems
ridiculous.
Came
from Mac Prime. I've never really heard of them, so I don't know how reliable they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Chinese or German website. So I don't know. Yeah, but at the same time, Apple makes dick moves all the time. So,
so that's exactly my logic. I think, oh, there's no way they would do this. They clearly are going to make this the standard case that comes with all AirPods. Why wouldn't they do that? But then again, look at all the dongles we have.
Yeah.
And if you want that extra functionality, Apple is not bashful about selling you an accessory for that extra functionality, right?
Yeah, that would be... And I could see why they would do that, just because it would be like hard for them to like make a break in the product line at like, okay, at this point you get the wireless charging case if you ordered the AirPods, but the people that ordered it before you, they're stuck with the old one and they have to buy the new wireless charging case separately. So I could see why some customers would be like, oh, I'd be screwed because I ordered mine like 2 weeks ago and now you're including the wireless case on it. So maybe they would wait until the second version of the AirPods to include the wireless charging case.
Apple should have announced the details of this right after the keynote, because now if you're going to be buying AirPods, for me, there's no way I would buy them right now.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what Apple's going to do with the case, and you want to make sure you get the best case, the wireless charging case.
I don't want two cases.
Yeah, and $70 for a case that does wireless charging when you just bought a pair of AirPods... To
plus you gotta buy the wireless charger too.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's just a slap right across the face, right across the mouth. Tim Cook just slapped you across the mouth, told you to pay up.
Yeah. I don't know. Need the money, bro.
At which point, I'll do that. But still, I'm not happy. I'm happy about that. That's right.
Well, I just lost my case last weekend.
So how did you lose your case?
I don't know. Isn't there a Find My AirPods thing though?
It only works on the AirPods itself, though, and only when the AirPods are outside of the case.
Oh, that's so lame.
Yeah. So it's really not all that useful, I discovered. But, yeah, but actually, I take that back. Isn't there a last location? Like, it logs, like, the Bluetooth location of the case before you close it? You should check that out.
Let me see.
Yeah, you might want to check that out. Oh, I wanted to mention this as well. The Apple Watch Series 3. The reviews for that are also out. They are largely what you expect. It's pretty much the exact same Apple Watch as before, except it has LTE, which some people find to be useful and some people think is really not all that useful at all. And it will be up to the individual purchaser to decide whether or not they want to pay that premium for LTE. And surprisingly, some people have really been complaining about the LTE model's battery life, especially if you're using it for phone calls, which I guess actually works pretty well. Mm-hmm. Apple claims only an hour of battery life on the iPhone if you're using it as a phone to make phone calls. And some people have said that their battery life has dropped from around an average of 18 hours to around an average of 4 to 5 hours with serious LTE usage on the Apple Watch.
But I thought Apple's 1 hour of LTE time is 1 hour for the entire... Like, for the entire watch. So if you use an hour of it, like, your watch is dead.
That's right.
That's how I took it. So, like, why are they complaining that their usage went from 18 to 4 hours? Like, they still got 4 hours after using a ton of LTE.
Just realizing how much LTE limits battery life if you actually use it. Like, if you're planning on using it a lot, it's like, oh man, I have to charge my watch twice a day now, right?
And I saw from like Brian Chen at the New York Times, he said that the battery life on the Apple Watch was better than previous models and that he's usually finished with like 40% every day. So,
well, maybe if you don't use the LTE.
Yeah.
But if you're using the LTE a lot, I think it really saps it quick.
But don't use the LTE a lot. That's like I've been on the fence about getting the LTE model of the Series 3 because, like we were saying, like, you usually always have your iPhone with you. But it would be really nice to just be able to go out and you would have Apple Pay on your wrist. And if you need to make a call or check maps or something like that in an emergency, you could do that, but sparingly, and just kind of be like disconnected from your gadgets, but slightly connected, I think is like the benefit there.
Connected light, yeah. That's actually an interesting idea, isn't it? Because people complain about that all the time.
Yeah, I do too. Like, it feels like you can't live in the moment so often because we're so tied to our phones. And even we were saying like, oh, you want to carry your phone just for the camera. And it's like, well, why not just like be in the moment? And like 10 years ago, it didn't matter if you got a picture of every thing during the day, you know? So
the trouble is, though, with an LTE watch, you're going to be getting all your messages, all your, you know, alerts, notifications. Don't you think it'll be just
true,
you know, the same, but in miniature?
That's what I was wondering. Is like, you're able to turn the LTE on and off, though, right? So then you wouldn't get messages unless you wanted to. Like,
you could do that in airplane mode anyway with your phone, right? If you were that,
yeah,
really not
you
committed.
Can. Yeah, but I'm not that committed. But with a watch, I think you would be, because you know that your LTE is limited to just 1 hour for the whole day. So keep it at a minimum.
Probably more important is like streaming music, you know, using the new Apple Music service. Like if you're out for a run and you're streaming music over LTE.
Oh, yeah.
And they haven't released that until, not going to be releasing it for a week or two, right? Or the end of October or something. So no one's going to be able to test that, but I wonder if that'll be a big drain on battery. It sounds like it will be.
Undoubtedly will be if it's using the LTE radio. I'm going to pass on the LTE. I've already decided that. It didn't even take me that much time to make that decision. I was like, this just isn't worth it. To pay the extra, what is it, $71 for the LTE radio, and then you have to pay AT&T, at least for me, an extra $10 a month. I'm like, uh-uh, girl. I'm not even trying to do that. And then also, I always end up being the one to bring up these total paranoid facts, but like having LTE radio on my wrist at all times, I don't want to end up with a huge tumor on my wrist. So it kind of makes me nervous. Like I don't even like having my phone in my pocket because the LTE radio pumps out radiation. And I know there's probably a lot of people who are like, dude, you're totally paranoid. Maybe. But when you have a giant mutated wrist tumor, and I don't, you might be thinking differently. So for that reason, I think I'm just going to go with the regular Wi-Fi version. I do think I'm going to upgrade, though, because people have been talking about how much faster the Apple Watch Series 3 is, even over the Series 2. It's noticeably faster. It's quicker and nimble. And the other thing, too, that I just found out is the Apple Watch Series 3 is the only watch that will be compatible with the Air Power Mat. Your Series 2 is not. So if you want to get that Air Power, you got to have the Series 3. So I think I'm going to purchase one of those. And Leander, you already pre-ordered one, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It's coming tomorrow. So I'm going to be checking it out for
sure.
Which
one did you get, LTE or Wi-Fi?
I already got the LTE one.
You went with the LTE? Why did you decide to do that?
Well, you know, it's professional reasons. I mean,
okay,
it's
just
part of my
out.
Job to be like... to try to kind of pretend that I know something about technology.
You do pretend very well, by the way.
So, but you know, I think a lot of the use cases are really interesting. And I think, it, like Buster said, it would be nice to be able to leave my phone alone, but not be totally cut off, because that would be completely weird. And it would put me in a panic. But, yeah, I wanted to, you know, because I'm doing a lot of cycling at the weekends these days. And so, you know, I think it would be kind of interesting to see whether I could go without my phone. Because my phone gets all sweaty in my back, you know, on my cycling gear.
Do you have it in like one of those weird cycling...
Yeah, I wear one of those horrible skin-tight Lycra. I'm a mammal, M-A-M-I-L, middle-aged man in Lycra.
Oh, man, that's very sensual. I didn't know that was a thing.
So yeah, so the phone seems perfect for that kind of thing, you know, because it does all that. It does everything I normally use my phone for when I'm out cycling, i.e., playing music, and tracking my workout using GPS,
mm-hmm.
and also you know, my heart rate monitor. But I think if it's got, you know, if I am going to be using the LTE on it, then I think, and it's going to die in an hour, or you know, somewhere between an hour and 4 hours, then, you know, I'm gonna have to download music to it and use it offline.
Mm-hmm.
Can't want a bit of stream music, but yeah, I'm really keen to use that. You know, it'd be great. And people say the Siri on it is really fast now and super responsive, and it's a much better interface than tapping away with your fingers. So with a pair of AirPods, you know, and Siri, I think it could be great. It could be really cool to have like a little, you know, like to have your iPhone on your wrist.
I think the LTE is definitely going to be convenient. I just think it's going to be a rare convenience for me. I just don't think I'll use it very often. And I know you guys say, oh, I'm going to leave my phone at home. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Whatever you say. I'm not going to do that. I already know myself.
That's what everyone says. But I think, you know, that I think you probably, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to find out that people will discover these use cases when they do actually start to leave their phone behind.
Mm-hmm.
And take their watch with them. Like, you know, this one, the all-day cycling trips I go on, like, you know, that is a good example. But, and then, of course, you know, Graham Bauer, he's a columnist, he's a sports nut, he lives in Barcelona. He wrote actually a really good column about the shortcomings of the LTE watch. And he actually wanted it to be more, you know, have more iPhone functions. Like, he was complaining that you still need to have a phone to make it work, because you have to have an iPhone contract to make to get the LTE connection.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it as a standalone device. And he was speculating that if it was a standalone cellular device, that you didn't need to have an iPhone 4, it would have all sorts of use cases. You know, like giving it to kids, for example. Like, it would be a perfect thing to give to a kid, wouldn't it? It's a tracking device. It keeps them in touch.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to pay for an expensive plan to keep them connected. You could also use it, if you wanted to, you could probably just have a phone and maybe a tablet, like a Wi-Fi tablet, and use the phone as a tethering device. So you could tether your iPad to it, you know?
To your watch?
To your watch, yeah.
You get some third-degree burns on your wrist on that thing.
Yeah, you might have to take it off. Yeah, that's true.
Heated up hotter than hell itself. I think we lost Buster. There he is.
Hey.
Buster, what happened?
There's been rainstorms here the last couple of days, so power got knocked out for a little bit.
So every time it rains, the power goes out?
Sometimes, yeah. Island life, bro.
Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up with a discussion on the ARKit apps that you need to try right this moment. If you have iOS 11 installed, you have ARKit on your phone, and this is an entire new paradigm of apps. And I've been playing around with some of them, and some of them are cool. Some of them are not cool at all. But before we do that, Leander, you wanted to plug a couple things real quick, right?
Yes, please. Yeah, I'd like to remind people about the Cult of Mac Watch Store. Which it's gone gangbusters, you know. Like Amy's been doing some added some new products,
nice.
And has been doing some design work on it. I think on a desktop, you know, go full screen, and it's got some really nice pictures and some really really superb products. The Speedle ones that I talked about last week, the elastic ones,
yeah,
the elastic steel bands. I mean, we've had some customers have ordered those, and they've been saying some very nice things to us in feedback on Twitter and an email, you know, saying they love these bands. They really are good. They're really, really good. It's a really, really good band. Not expensive. Really, really high quality. Really nice to wear. It doesn't rip your hairs out of your arm, as I suspected it would. And, we've got a bunch of great stuff. Like, I think the store's really coming together. Like, it's a really good place now to find all these different options, you know, all these third-party bands, which you don't, you know, you can't really find anywhere else. So I'm really digging it. I'm really liking the store. I think it's, you know, really, really pleased with it, really pleased with the way it's going. I'd like people to check it out. And if you use the term, the word Cultcast, the code Cultcast on checkout, you get a discount.
Boom.
So,
how much?
Yeah, if you check it out, put it in, there's a little box, a discount code, Cultcast, Cultcast, and you get a special
discount. And that's at store.cultamac.com.
That's right, store.cultamac.com. And the other thing I'd like people to check out, too, is also our buyback program. So now is, you know, iPhone trade-up season. If you're in the market for an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 10, we will buy back your old iPhone. And I can say this with a lot of confidence, is that we offer the best prices on buyback. We were just digging into this last week. We've always done this. Our partners, My Phone's Unlimited. They're this recycling company based out of in the South, and they have very, very low overhead. They were a bunch of college students who started this program when they were in college, and they recycle phones, and we are able to offer the best prices. Not in every single case. We were just looking at this. We were comparing to Gazelle and to Nextworth, who offer cash, and also to Best Buy, Walmart, and Amazon, who offer a gift card. So if you trade in your phone at Amazon or Walmart or Best Buy, you'll get a gift card, you know, for the trade-in value. And Amazon actually beats us on mainly broken devices. So if your phone is broken or damaged in any way, Amazon will give you a little bit more, but you get a gift card. If you trade in with us, you get cash. And we compared like a bunch of phones to Nextworth and to Gazelle, and we beat those guys in almost every single case. Not every case, but almost every case. And you know, so I'm pretty confident that we can offer the best prices. If you want to trade in your phone, you want to get cash for it, we'll offer the best price. And it's really easy. You know, you just go to the site. It's at buyback.cultamac.com, buyback.cultamac.com. Put in your phone, put in the condition of the phone. That's the most important thing, the condition. That's the biggest determining factor. Like, if it's in good condition or poor condition, that determines how much money these guys will offer you to buy it back.
All right, buyback.cultamac.com for that one, and then store.cultamac.com for the watch store. Buster, you're back with us, right?
I hope so.
Are you using your phone now?
Now I'm back on the router.
You are? Okay, well, let's run through these ARKit apps before we lose you real fast. So these are the best ARKit apps to try on your iPhone and iPad. Buster, without further ado, Let's run through this list, shall we?
Dude, let's do it. Sky Guide, number one, is what I put. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say these are ranked in any order, but I thought the Sky Guide app that Apple previewed during its keynote was super cool. I don't know. I really like stars and space and stuff. And, like, if you haven't ever used the Sky Guide or the Star Maps type of guides, it's, you know, you get your iPhone, and it'll kind of guide you to where the stars and constellations are and mm-hmm. the planets and everything. But with the augmented reality, you can actually see exactly which star. Like, a lot of times with those apps before AR, you were like, I think it's that one, you know, but you couldn't really tell that well. But with the Sky Guide app now, it's like overlays it on top of the real world, so you know exactly, okay, that's the star and the constellation and everything. So super useful.
This is one of the most amazing ones, the most useful ones that are out there, I think.
Yeah, I'm super excited to get to play with it when I get to a place where I can see the stars again.
Right, exactly. It's a beautiful UI too, isn't it? They're really nicely done. It's really gorgeous looking.
Yeah.
All right, well, one of the next ones, this is one that I actually played around with yesterday. It's called Measure Kit, and it does exactly what you think it probably does. It has a ruler built in, trajectory, marker pins, angles. You can measure a person's height. You can visualize how big something is, and it also has a level built in. Now, I was playing around with the free version. The ruler, I think, is free in the free version. And then if you want to use the rest of the tools, it's an in-app purchase, I think, of like $2 or $3 or something to unlock the rest of them, which is real steep, I know. But I was having a lot of problems with this app. I couldn't get it to give me an accurate measurement. I mean, it was off sometimes by an inch. It was off sometimes by 3 inches. And I will say that's true about all the measuring apps that I used in the last couple of days. I haven't found one that is accurate yet. The other one I was using was Tap Measure, which is another one that's being promoted on the App Store. And unfortunately, they just don't work that well yet. And I hope this is something that's fixed soon. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong or if like the lighting in the room is just too low, but it very well could be me because I am a total moron. So that's possible. But isn't it just kind of supposed to be like set it and forget it, right? I mean, you just...
Yeah,
it's supposed to be, yeah.
The only thing I can think is like Leander saying the lighting maybe messing it up. And AR kit's new, so you would hope like... Hopefully they'll get all that worked out.
What phone are you using?
I'm using an iPhone 7 Plus.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, the best phone that you can buy right now, right?
Right.
So I thought it was weird. And then actually, it was funny because when I was in the App Store, it said, your phone is not compatible with this app. And I'm like, yeah, it is. It definitely is. So I don't know what you're talking about, App Store. I snapped my fingers in the shape of a Z. And
You weren't doing it in the dark or anything, were you?
Well, I was doing it in the evening. And it was pitch black in the room, and I was completely nude. Do you think that...
Right, because you were measuring a certain thing, right?
Yeah.
The first thing that you were thinking to measure.
It kept saying...
three inches off.
It kept saying 3 inches, right. That's wrong. That's wrong. I know that's wrong.
That's way too small.
I had turned up the heat in the house to 98 degrees. And anyway, so yeah, just if you're doing something that's mission critical where you got to know how long something actually is so you can brag about said thing, just be wary that these aren't...
Well, the demos, though, it all works perfectly, and it was like, you know, millimeter accurate.
Yeah,
that wasn't my experience. So, okay, the next one is the Machines, which I have no idea what this is, Buster. What is
this?
You
didn't see the iPhone X keynote?
I probably did.
It was the game that they demoed at the keynote. I thought it was the coolest game, I think, with augmented reality so far. It's like a PvP arena battle game. You have different guys that you control and like try and beat the other person.
Yeah.
You have different guys and you try to beat your opponent. And I thought what was cool about this game is, like Apple was showing in the keynote, is you move around to see the map, but you also like move your phone in closer to like barriers and obstacles or little like narrow nooks to like shoot other people and aim like to help your guys. And it also changes the audio based on where you are on the map. So if like you get in really close on the action, the audio is really loud. If you go like behind a rock, the sound is muffled and stuff like that. It's like the first game since Vainglory that I've kind of like hyped about.
Really? You actually excited for it?
Yeah, I'm excited to play it. Okay. It looks kind of cool.
Let's talk about this other one.
Ring an endorsement.
Hey, I don't play games like ever, so that's a huge endorsement from me.
Right.
The next one is Modiface, which is an app that changes your hair color in real time. I actually played with this yesterday. I was changing my fro to all different kinds of colors. Didn't really work that well for me. I don't know if maybe I was like, again, in the wrong lighting conditions or something, but like it just kind of like it laid a light shade over my dark brown fro. And if you look in the screenshots of the app, I think these are Photoshopped. The colors that it shows of this girl's hair color, these are not the colors that I saw on my fro. Like my fro was just, it was like still my brown fro, but it was like kind of a pinkish brown fro.
Yeah. You know? With dyes, you know, there's it's so complex, you know, like a pink dye
tell
can
me,
really.
Please, Buster, tell me about dyes.
I've dated a few hairstylists, okay, so I know what I'm talking about. But I think apps like this are actually like where AR is like actually useful. Like, you know, like it, they have another one, the makeup app, where you can test lipstick and eyeshadow, blush. I think that's like stuff that's actually useful with AR kit. The stuff where it's just like a 3D model projected onto, like overlaid onto like the real world. I don't find that like very useful. But stuff like that is super cool. And I'm guessing that one's gonna work better with the iPhone X or 10, sorry, because it has the 3D camera as well. So I'm gonna guess it can place the color better on you. Stuff like that and fashion, I think that's going to be like really big for AR.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. And actually, when I first heard about this app, I thought this was a really great idea to be able to try different hair colors before you actually get your hair dyed. What a great idea. That's a good premise for an app. Let's see here. We're running out of time here, so let's go ahead and wrap it up. Let's mention the IKEA Place app, which we've talked about before, which allows you to place furniture around your room, and you can pretend to live a much fancier lifestyle than you actually do with all this fancy furniture placed around your office and home.
Yeah, replacing all the crates and
yeah. Okay, and then also, let's see here, Pixie.
Well, I just want to mention, I played around the IKEA one. I thought it was really remarkable. Like, they really look like they're really there. It's they're really solid. They sit in the actual environment. You know, they cast a shadow that's really kind of really remarkably realistic. And you can look underneath it. You can even go underneath and look underneath the see if there's any boogers being wiped on the bottom of the chair.
You can search for change under the kitchen.
Fortunately, there wasn't any, so I'm screwed.
So no lunch for Leander. The other one, I think we should wrap up with this one. The other one that I was playing around with that I actually thought was pretty cool, I got a DM from the developer of Monster Park, and he gave me a code for his app. So I've only played with this for 30 minutes. I want to caveat what I'm about to say with that. And it's an app where you can create a portal, and a dinosaur walks through it, and you can start interacting with a Tyrannosaurus Rex in AR. And it's cool. It was really fun to see this thing walking around my living room, and they have like pterodactyls flying around and stuff. And I'm actually looking forward to showing this. I want to put this on my iPad. I'm going to show it to my daughter because I think she's going to flip a lid when you can make a dinosaur appear in your living room, and like your kid can like walk around the dinosaur with the iPad and like look at it and interact with it and stuff. I think that's going to be a really fun app for kids. And I don't know if there's multiple dinosaurs or if it's just that one for right now. But it's a cool premise for an app, and actually out of all the AR apps that I've used so far, Monster Park is the one that I enjoyed the most and had, and really lived up to the promise of AR kit, where you really have one of those wow moments and think this is really cool technology, whereas some of the other ones just didn't really work very well. So Monster Park, I think it's like $2 or $3 on the App Store. I'm not really sure because I didn't pay for it. But there you have it. Those are all the AR kit apps that you should definitely try out. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That is all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Oh, we'll be announcing our live show next week. We totally forgot to do that last week. And we need to pick a date. So we'll be announcing when our live show will be next week. So stay tuned for that. We're also going to be doing our under review next week since we ran out of time this episode. But until then, if you want to come discuss any of the topics that we discussed on today's show, you can come reach out to us on Twitter. Oh, and also, if there's an AR kit app that you think that we should try out and you want us to talk about, make sure you tell us about that on Twitter as well. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Landon, you gotta go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I was trying to rush us out of there. I was like, oh shoot, Landon's gotta go and like, get his hoagie. What's up, dude?
Yeah, just living that life.
Living that Thai life?
That Thai life.
Hello.
Thai life. Hello.
Thai life. You know. What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Kickboxing
exactly?
Every night.
I don't know.
Getting massaged the next day.
Happy endings.
Yeah, right. Yeah. My kids kept on making jokes about that. Happy ending this, happy ending happy that. Endings.
Haven't got any happy endings.
Yeah, nothing to joke about.
Missing out.
We didn't get one either.
Jeez. I thought they'd just give you one at the airport when you arrive, you know?